Blog Talk Radio.
All right, it's Monday night. Old Time Hockey is back. This is your host, Frank Wolf from the 300 level at Wolf3328. You'll find me on Twitter hanging out over there. And I want to thank you for joining me on the podcast tonight. Feel free to give the show a call if you're listening. The number to get in is 347-934-0157. That's 347-934-0157. We're going to talk a little Buffalo Sabres. We're going to talk NHL and everything in between. So if you're a hockey fan, this is the show you want to get involved with. And we'll get you right on. If you got a comment or question, we'll see if we can't answer and take care of you. We'll give you your 5 seconds of fame. So what do you say we jump right into things? First off, number one, let's thank our sponsor of the show, the Paul Wolf Insurance Agency. If you're looking for insurance, if you want to get a new auto, homeowner, commercial, or life insurance policy, give Paul a call. He's the insurance agent. He's who I go through. And if I don't, he's probably going to slap me silly because he's my brother. But in any case, the guy gives us a few bucks. So we got to pimp out the show, pimp out his service here. It's 716-835-9653. That's 716-835-9653, the Paul Wolf Insurance Agency. If you're near a computer, just dial up paulwolfagency.com. Check out the website. You can email him. Check out his office hours, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. But, of course, if you know Paul, you know he works a lot of extra hours, a lot of overtime. So he'll meet you whenever time is convenient for everybody. Give him a call. Paul Wolf Agency, that's our sponsor for the show tonight. Again, I am your host. Thank you for joining me. At Wolf3328 on Twitter. If you have a question, shoot me a tweet or give us a call on the show. And let's talk about what the Buffalo Sabres have done over the last 72 hours or so. They've made a couple of trades. They picked up 5 players from the NHL entry draft. Of course, Jack Eichel is now in the fold. You can catch him next week at the development camp. That'll open up on Monday the 6th. Times of when the practices start have not been released just yet. But just as soon as they are and we catch wind of it, we'll be passing that information on to you. So without further ado, let's get up to date on some of these Sabre updates. Number one, the big news of the day from Buffalo is the Cody Hodgson future with the Sabres has been decided. Today, they put him on waivers, which is the first step of having a contract bought out. So Cody Hodgson has officially been placed on waivers. The Buffalo Sabres now, if nobody claims him, and I'm sure they won't, but if they do, Buffalo will have to buy him out. Now, he's 25 years old. Recorded 6 goals last year, 13 points, 78 games. He was a healthy scratch a couple of times under Ted Nolan's watch. He's got 4 years remaining on a 6-year contract. He signed it in 2013. He's owed about $19 million, according to waronice.com. He's owed about $19 million. Now, according to the collective bargaining agreement, since Hodgson is younger than 26, the Sabres, they're going to have to eat up about a third of the remaining value of that contract towards the salary cap for twice the remaining years. What that means is Hodgson, the Sabres are on the hook until 2022, the 2023 season. So you're not going to forget the name Cody Hodgson anytime soon. The Sabres will be paying this man, or I should say the Sabres will be paying for this man until the 2022-2023 season. Along with Hodgson, the Sabres did offer 7 RFAs, qualifying offers today. They tendered 7 players qualifying offers, and those guys are forwards Jerry D'Amigo, Johan Larsson, Tim Schaller, Phil Verone, defenseman Jerome Leduc, Mark Pizik, and goaltender Nathan Lewin. So all 7 of those players will be back with the organization next year. One player not offered a tender from Rochester was Jordan Samuels, a guy, tough forward. He came from college up in New England. Escapes me. Man, you got to have the information. Wolf, how can you have a show and mention a player's name you don't know where he is? Anyways, possible he may come back, but they're not sending him a qualifying offer right now, so he could be done as far as the Rochester Amerks and the Buffalo Sabres are concerned. So those are the seven players that were offered qualifying offers today. We'll see what happens in the days ahead. Obviously, Hodgson will not be back, so that could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. Here's my take on Hodgson. He had a piss-poor season last year, no question about it. Season before, average to below average at best. So he's had two subpar seasons after signing a very rich contract. Now, from what we know about Hodgson, he's a pretty stand-up guy. He talks to the media, very polite, but the man comes from some money. His pops has got a few bucks in the bank. Cody doesn't have to play hockey to get by in life. Okay, he's got a few bucks to play with. He can, you know, and I don't think the guy doesn't have to not work, but he does come from money, so he's got a few bucks in the bank even before he got to the NHL. So guys like that, how hard do they have to play? How hard do they really want it, knowing they don't need to? Cody fits into that category. He had a promising junior career. Vancouver picked him up, and then we moved him to Buffalo for Zach Cassian. So this, it was a good trade a few years ago, but it looks like now Cassian is the last man standing. So Vancouver is going to win out in that trade, it appears. So, look, under Ted Nolan, was he used correctly last season? Who knows? Who knows with Hodgson? Ted Nolan's a no-nonsense kind of guy. Hodgson, he wasn't getting the most out of him. Did he have him lined up with the right players? Did he play with Tyler Ennis enough? Did he play with Matt Molson enough? That's anybody's guess. That's your opinion. That's my opinion. I don't think Hodgson performed up to par. You know, for the money they're making him, Hodgson needs to be able to make other players around him better. I mean, he's very good with the puck. He can do a, he, you know, he's almost a magician at times, but we didn't see enough of it in 2014, 2015. Thus the shady stats. You know, when you're being paid that kind of money, you come on, 6 goals in 78 games. I mean, I could have had 6 goals in 78 games, even with that lineup they threw at you last year. Cody Hodgson, we needed to see a lot more out of him. I mean, this guy should have been seeing power play minutes, and he didn't see enough of them. But then again, Buffalo, they got the result they wanted. They finished in dead last. Cody Hodgson and the way he played last year had a lot to do with it. Do I think his NHL career is over? Not a chance. Cody Hodgson will get picked up by somebody. And don't forget, in just a couple of years, this league is going to expand anyway. So there will be room for Cody Hodgson at some point. Maybe he catches on with Tampa Bay. Maybe they sign him to real cheap. Maybe he signs up with New Jersey. Maybe he goes and helps a team that just needs another power play hand. Perhaps he goes to Nashville or St. Louis. Who knows? But, you know, the future for Cody Hodgson and the Buffalo Sabres has been decided. He won't be back. And the franchise is moving on. So, Ville Leino Part 2 is what you have with Cody Hodgson. He's done. So moving on, Patrick Kaleta's future with the Sabres hasn't officially been announced yet, but they didn't offer him anything at this point. He is set to become a free agent on July 1st. That's Wednesday, and I believe that's going to happen. I don't believe he'll be back with Buffalo unless he signs a two-way deal. And I think Kaleta would do that to stay in Buffalo. Injuries come and go in this league. They happen all the time. So there's a good chance, I think, Kaleta comes, possibly begins the year in Buffalo, or he begins the year in Rochester and then comes up when injuries present themselves. And then he finds himself on the fourth line in Bylsma's new system. But Kaleta could get a few more bucks maybe from another team out there like Dallas. Certain former coach, Lindy Ruff, is all about Patrick Kaleta. Maybe the Flyers take a run at him. Patrick Kaleta is a tough player, but he's fragile. This guy gets hurt every single year. He's probably one or two good hits away from calling it a career. I mean, just last year he took a puck in the face. Missed most of the season. I hardly saw him down there. You know, I covered about 22, 23 home games. Hardly saw him. But Patrick Kaleta gave it his all. He gave it his all for the Buffalo Sabres organization. They owe him a two-way contract, I would think. You got to assign him to a two-way deal. Will he accept a two-way deal? I mean, the man's got a family. He married a chick from Buffalo. I'm sure he wants to stay close. Dallas seems like a stretch, but how much time does Kaleta really have left in the NHL? Again, a hit or two away from it being a career, from him being forced out of the game. I suspect if he signs another deal, it's going to be with either Dallas or Philadelphia, teams that are traditionally tougher teams. Although Ron Hextall, the GM now in Philadelphia, is starting to go the Euro route. Maybe he doesn't need a guy like Kaleta. They just moved Zach Rinaldo today to Boston. Well, the seventh, third round pick in the 2017 draft. So Philadelphia got a little weaker today. Boston got a little bit tougher, having lost Milan Lucic back on at the draft and the big trade they made out to L.A. So Boston gets a little tougher with Zach Rinaldo. But continuing on with some Sabre news here, Artturs Urban, the goaltending coach, is gone. He will not be back with the team. The Sabres were very tight-lipped. They danced around this subject after Tim Murray cleaned house with Ted Nolan's staff. The only one that was left or kept on was Artur Cervé. And somehow, some way, after about a month or two of meetings with him, Tim Murray decided that it wasn't to be, and Urbe is no longer a member of the Buffalo Sabres coaching staff. So there's an opening. If you're a goaltending coach out there and you're looking for a job, there's an opening down at the First Niagara Center in Buffalo. Put your application in, unless Timmy's got his eye on somebody already. Maybe he's going to pluck somebody from the Ottawa Senators organization. Maybe Patrick Lalime comes and takes that job. Lalime has been around the game still in a coaching capacity. Maybe a guy like Patrick Lalime comes in, a former Sabre, knows the organization, knows the city, knows Murray, and perhaps Patrick Lalime slides into that position. But right now, I don't know who gets the job. Could it be that maybe they talk to Marty Baron? Maybe Marty Baron wants to come out of the broadcast booth and work for the Sabres full-time. I mean, he's a Buffalo guy now. He does a ton of work at the Academy of Hockey, as it is, down at the Harbor Center. So maybe Martin Baron settles here and becomes the Buffalo Sabres goaltending coach. That's a possibility. I'd be in favor of something like that as well. But one thing's for certain, Artur Cervé won't be back. The Buffalo Sabres have shut the door on Urbe, and they are moving on. No callers in the queue. Am I that bad? Come on, man. Help me out here. Get on the show. 347-934-0157. I'll take your call. Give you 5 seconds. It looks like I missed a couple of calls. I wasn't paying attention. Oh, boy. Call back if you're still out there listening, man. I'm sorry. I'm just rambling on over here about what the Sabres should and shouldn't do and what they have done. All right. Developmental camp opens up Monday. Again, the 6th. Times have not been announced, but there is that game on the 10th, the blue and gold scrimmage on the 10th. Tickets at the box office, sabres.com. Find a ticket, get in there. I would anticipate there's going to be about 12 to 13,000 people there. I don't think it's going to be a sellout. I know Joe Yurden out there, writer of NHL Network, covers the Sabres, well-respected writer. I know he tweeted out sometime around the draft that just perhaps the Sabres might sell this out. I don't think it's going to happen. If they do, I'd be very impressed. And what are you going to do? I mean, that'd be pretty cool. Pretty cool if they do. if they did sell that out, but I don't see that happening. Okay. NHL updates. Updates from around the NHL for Monday, June 29th. Number one, first and foremost, there is a major, major situation out in L.A. between the Kings and Mike Richards. In a very surprising move today, the Kings have terminated the contract of Mike Richards. Now, they had been discussing buying out the remaining 5 years of his 12-year contract. They put him on unconditional waiver Sunday, but today they came up with some violation of his contract and they terminated him. And they're not saying what he did, but ESPN is reporting that it's an off-the-ice incident. Remember not too long ago, some L.A. King, you may know him well, got busted for coke, some drugs out in Vegas. Is Mike Richards a part of that deal? Is Mike Richards a part of that deal? Perhaps. There's some partying going on in L.A., that's for sure. Mike Richards involved, you know, he was rumored to be a party animal in Philadelphia. It's one of the reasons why they got rid of him years ago. So that's speculation on my part. We'll wait to see what happens when the facts come out. Now, the NHL Players Association, they have the right to file a grievance on Richards' behalf. So I'm sure they're they're in the process of gathering info, and I'm sure that's a route that they're going to take. In fact, a spokesman for the NHLPA, Jonathan Weatherdone, released a statement saying, "We are in the process of reviewing the facts and circumstances of the matter, and we'll discuss the situation with the player in order to determine the appropriate course of action." Again, that was NHL spokesman Jonathan Weatherdone said in a statement earlier today. Now, the Kings were made aware of something that happened off the ice sometime Friday at the NHL draft. The first round had already started, and there was general manager Dean Lombardi out on the floor. He had discussions with Edmonton and Calgary about a possible trade for Mike Richards, which probably wasn't going anywhere, but he was floating the idea around that he was going to, you know, he was taking feelers up. What can I get for the player? What can I not? Are you interested in Mike Richards? And he spoke to Peter Chiarelli, the new Oilers general manager. And he also spoke to Brad Treleving of Calgary, their general manager. And he put the feelers out for the trade. But he also, to his credit, Dean Lombardi, sought out each general manager and said, "Hey, look, there's something going on here. We're going to have to put the kibosh on this trade talk." You know, so Dean's a stand-up guy in that regard. You know, he probably could have gone ahead and traded him if he wanted to be a scumbag, but he didn't. And he told these general managers, "Look, I know we're starting to discuss possible move scenario, trade scenarios for Mike Richards, but let's put the kibosh on this. We're going to outright cut him, release him, and so on and so forth." And that happened officially today. Now, Richards had been earning $5.75 million per season. It was part of a $69 million deal, which was going to run out in the year 2020. So he had a good 5 to 6 years left on that deal. He turns 30. He's 30 years old now. He did clear unconditional waivers, of course. Now, the buyout window is tomorrow, the 30th. So he's done. The move to terminate the contract for Richards, what that means is the $5.75 million cap hit will not count against the team's salary cap. And the veteran, two-time Stanley Cup winning forward, immediately becomes an unrestricted free agent. So any team can pick him up right now. Now, the team is no longer on the hook with his cap charge, you know, because of these unknown circumstances at the moment. Anyways, we haven't said anything. They could have used that compliance buyout last summer. Lombardi admits it's probably one of the worst decisions he's ever made, but he did it for the right reasons. He thought that the guy would bounce back and raise his level of play. So we'll see. Mike Richards' name has come up in trade rumors for the last couple of years, at least the last two seasons. We've heard that Mike Richards could be moved. And, well, now he is going to be moved. 10 minutes left on the show. If you want to get in and get your NHL talk out, your Sabres talk, call me at 347-934-0157. I know you're listening because I can see online. I've got 7 listeners. Maybe you can't get to your phone. Can you get to the computer? Can you tweet? Send me a tweet. I'll get your question on the air. I won't even tell them your Twitter handle if you don't want it out there that you're listening to this show. At Wolf3328 on Twitter. Or you can even go to at from the 300 level. Send me a question, send me a tweet, and I'll get your question right up, and I'll discuss your thought. Dallas today signed Antti Niemi. He was a free agent from the San Jose Sharks. So they have 2 Finnish goaltenders on the roster now. Of course, Carey Lehtinen coming off a pretty poor season with Dallas. He played a lot more than they wanted him to play. So statistically speaking, he didn't have a good season. But Niemi is in the fold. They picked him up at the trade or at the draft, but now they officially signed him, and it's a 3-year deal worth $4.5 million. They sent a 7th-round pick to San Jose. So Niemi was worth a 7th-round pick. Sabres gave up a 1st-round pick for Lerner. So, Demi, come on, man. I hope you made the right deal there. But the Dallas GM, Jim Neal, along with former Sabre coach Lindy Ruff, now have 2 pretty good goaltenders in the fold. They're going to split time. Lightning's deal, though, Carey Lightning's deal runs out at the end of the 2017-18 season. He's about $5.9 million per year. Neal said that both goaltenders were excited, and they know that it gives them a better chance to win. That's what they want to do. Of course, Antti Niemi won a Stanley Cup for the Chicago Blackhawks back in 2010. Played in all 16 postseason games. He had a .910 save percentage. The first Finnish goaltender to win a cup. Let's see here. Last season he went 31-23-7. Had a .914 save percentage. He's won 163 games in 5 years with San Jose. He signed a $2 million deal for 1 year after leaving Chicago. And then after that 1 year, they signed him to a 4-year deal at $15.2 mil. So he has moved on. He's now with the Dallas Stars. Here's something on Niemi. He was part of the Finland's bronze medal winning team at the 2014 Sochi Olympics. However, he did not play in net. He was behind none other than Carey Lehtinen. But he's in Dallas now. He's in Dallas now, and both players are 31 years old. Niemi's just a few months older. Lehtinen's been around for, he's played in 510 career games. Niemi's got 338 to his credit. But his, they both have 32 career shutouts, by the way. Similar save percentages, but they both have 32 career shutouts. Who knows who's going to be the starter out of the gate? I'm going to assume Lehtinen has every chance of being the number one due to his, being in Dallas for so long. I can see him being the starter there, and then maybe they play him 3 games and then go to Lehtinen for 2, back to 3-2. Who knows what Lindy Ruff's going to do with that goalie situation. He's handled it in the past with Miller and Enroth, who's obviously out of the mix now in Dallas. Who knows where Enroth ends up now. It's still possible he could end up in Buffalo, as a matter of fact. But I don't think he'll take a 2-way contract because Buffalo needs goaltenders in the farm. Enroth's probably not an AHL goaltender anymore. He's a serviceable NHL backup with Cam Talbot now in Edmonton. The Rangers need a backup goalie that seems to be a place where former Sabre goaltenders end. So Enroth could be looking at a deal perhaps with the Rangers. He could end up in Philadelphia. And I don't know where else he would go. No other team is really jumping out at me, unless he goes and plays in Vancouver with Ryan Miller again. Maybe he rides Miller's shotgun, ride his coattails for another year or two. And maybe, Miller had a subpar season. He had the injuries, and maybe Enroth gets a chance to back him up there. We'll wait and see. Okay, and I told you earlier the Bruins picked up Zach Rinaldo today. They need to get a little tougher after losing Milan Lucic. The Flyers sent him in return. They got a 3rd-round pick at the 2017 draft. Just about 5 minutes left to go in the show. Hockey Hall of Fame announcement today. And it's a Hall of Fame class that's going to be near and dear to my heart because my favorite all-time player finally got inducted in, former Sabre defenseman Phil Housley, a guy I grew up idolizing. When I played ball hockey in the street, I was always Phil Housley. I mean, I grew up in the Gilles Perreault era to some degree. When I first started getting into hockey, it was Foligno, Andrechuk, Playfair, Housley, and those kind of guys. But Phil Housley, I just idolized as a kid. And to see him going into the Hall of Fame, just really, I got a little choked up. I got in. It's been 10 years that he's been waiting to get in there, and he finally did it. So November 9th at the Hockey Hall of Fame, I'll tell you what, I will be there covering that event for From the 300 level. So hopefully maybe we'll get a chance to get Phil on either the podcast, or we'll get a chance to interview him before. Housley is a stand-up dude. I don't care what they said. Somebody said that he was a little prickly throughout his career, and that might have been one of the reasons why he didn't get in as quickly as he should have. But he's the fourth all-time leading scorer of all defensemen that ever played the game. Get this man in the Hall of Fame. He should have been in years ago. But 2 seasons ago when the Preds came to Buffalo, Barry Trotz, I caught him in the hallway and asked him if I can have just a minute with Phil Housley, if he minded. And he said, "Hey, Phil, there's a guy here who actually wants to talk to you." And Housley came right up, and I'll tell you, he gave me 2 or 3 minutes, great sound bites. And it was really the first time I ever really had a chance to meet my idol. And it was an interesting conversation, and it's one I'll never forget. And hopefully I get another chance to talk to Phil, who's still in Nashville on Laviolette staff. I thought Phil might get a job as a NHL coach this season. But I would like to see Phil go to the AHL first and coach an AHL team for a year or two in the farm, and then be brought up and coach an NHL team. But I think that's what I'd like him to see him do. I'd like to see him coach an AHL team first. Of course, he had the run with Team USA at the World Juniors a couple years ago when they won gold, by the way. But he's probably going to get a job being a bench boss in the NHL sooner than later. If not next year, the year after. Okay, so today the Hockey Hall of Fame class was announced. Nicholas Lidstrom and Sergei Fedorov, Chris Pronger, Housley, Angela Ruggiero, Peter Karmanos Jr., and Bill Hay will all be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. That's the class announced today. Again, the induction ceremony will be November 9th up in Toronto. Lidstrom, Fedorov, Pronger, this is their first year of eligibility. If you don't know who Nicholas Lidstrom is, do yourself a favor and look him up immediately on Elite Prospects or HockeyDB, YouTube, whatever. One of the greatest defensemen ever to live. And he comes from a long line of great defensemen out of Detroit, I'll tell you. His nicknames used to call him the perfect human. he's from Sweden. He won the Norris Trophy 7 times. 7 times. Tied with Doug Harvey. Second most behind Bobby Orr, who's won 8 of them. Bobby Orr. Everyone knows Bobby Orr. He won 8. This guy won 7. All right, so he had a 20-year NHL career, all with the Wings, never left Detroit, 1,564 career games, fourth among defensemen. He had 1,142 points, which is six all-time in points at the position. All 5 defensemen in front of him was in their prime during the most offensive era in the history of the league. So you know they are. Housley's one of them. I got to find these other defensemen. You'll know who they are. McInnes is one of them. Do I remember who they are? Yeah, let's see. We'll get to that later. I only got about a minute left in the show here. Time's winding out. Okay, so Lidstrom's in. Fedorov's in. He won the Hart Trophy, the Ted Lindsay Award in 94. 2-time winner of the Selke, 94-96. Played 18 seasons in the NHL. Red Wings, Anaheim, Ducks, Columbus, Washington. 483 goals, 1,179 points, 1,248 games, 176 points, 183 Stanley Cup games. Let me repeat that, 183 Stanley Cup playoff games. Crazy, just crazy. He was part of a line in Russia with Alexander Mogilny and Pavel Bure. That's how good he was. Chris Pronger, retired due to injuries. As you know him very well, big, tough defenseman with St. Louis by the Whalers. Spent time in Edmonton, won a cup with the Ducks, and also finaled out in Philadelphia Flyers. This is @Wolf3328 ending the show. Have a good night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night.